you're going to counter Mr. Humphreys in his backgrounding you as far as the delegate votes go?
You can just go start your struggle for it.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible? Is that possible? Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen? It is possible. He has. Not only Senator Kennedy. Oh, my God. Senator Kennedy has been shot. And another man, a Kennedy campaign manager, and possibly shot in the head. I am right here. Rafer Johnson has a hold of a man who apparently has fired the shot. He has fired the shot. He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me right at this moment. I hope they can get the gun out of his hand. Be very careful. Get the gun. Get the gun.
Get the gun.
Stay away from the gun.
Get the gun.
Stay away from the gun. His hand is frozen. Get his thumb. Get his thumb. Get his thumb.
In his hand.
Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to. Get his thumb. All right. That's it, Rafer. Get it.
Get the gun,
Rafer.
Get the gun.
Okay, now hold on to the guy. Hold on to him. Hold on to him, ladies and gentlemen. They have the gun away from the man. In this shot, they've got the gun. I can't see the man. I can't see who it is. But Senator Kennedy right now is on the ground. He has been shot. Hold him. Hold him. Hold him. We don't want another Oswald. Hold him, Rafer. We don't want another Oswald. Hold him, Rafer. Keep people away from him. Keep people away from him. The senator is on the ground. He's bleeding profusely. From apparently, clear back. Apparently, the senator has been shot from the in the frontal area. We can't see exactly where the senator has been shot. This is a terrible thing. It's impossible to believe.
That was the report of reporter Andrew West of the Mutual Broadcasting System, who was alongside Senator Kennedy during the shooting early today in Los Angeles.
Some could not believe the news was true. If it is true, all I've got to say is I hope they find out who did it, said the Army Specialist 4, 21-year-old Walter Rosser of Clareton, Pennsylvania. Sergeant William Bodner of Toledo, Ohio, said, "I'm shot. I wouldn't have voted for him, but I'm shot." Marine Gunnery Sergeant Ed Bray of Minneapolis, Minnesota, saying that, "I can't understand that mentality, that type of mentality that makes war, I guess. If you don't like something, kill it." Said Sergeant James A. Spahn of Shelby, North Carolina, "So far as the Negro is concerned, I think this really hurts us. I just hope that he will still be able to win." And said another, Specialist 4, James Hanlon of Uniontown, Pennsylvania, "I can't believe it. I was just hoping Bobby would have made it, that's all. I just can't believe it." And that was one man, said Charles Renfour of Ashland, Kentucky, "I was hoping that would really get elected." A 21-year-old airman, first class from Brockton, Massachusetts, Edward Dench, shook his head, repeated several times, "That's really bad." Just some of the comment from the soldiers in Vietnam, whether they favored him or opposed him, American soldiers in Vietnam angered and shocked when they heard the news of Senator Robert Kennedy had been shot in Los Angeles. Attorney General Ramsey Clark saying that the FBI is investigating every possible angle in the shooting, including the possibility of conspiracy, but he adds, at a news conference in Washington, "According to the information that I have at the moment, we have no evidence of conspiracy." Of course, a directive from the White House, from President Johnson, declaring that Secret Service personnel should give protection to all of the presidential candidates. And, of course, Vice President Hubert Humphrey already has that protection. Los Angeles police saying they believe the shooting was the work of the one man that they have in custody. The man, so far, refusing to give his identity or answer any questions. He's described as short, about 25 years of age, with dark, bushy hair and a swarthy complexion. Police say he is under 24-hour maximum security guard and will not be viewed by the public to prevent any recurrence of the Dallas murder of Lee Harvey Oswald. John, I think at this moment, let's get the latest results in the California Republican senatorial race. It appears that at this moment, that Dr. Max Rafferty, an outspoken conservative, has defeated U.S. Senator Thomas Kuchel, assistant Republican floor leader for the Republican senatorial nomination in California. Latest returns, 78% of the precinct's reporting, give Rafferty 49% of the vote and Kuchel 48% of the vote. Rafferty took an unbeatable lead as the late reporting precincts in his strongholds in populous Los Angeles, Orange, and San Diego counties tabulated the votes from Tuesday's primary. Kuchel did, however, lead in the early returns. It had been forecast the day before the election that Rafferty was picking up strong strength from the areas here in Southern California, and it appears now for sure that he has defeated the incumbent Senator Thomas Kuchel. John, would you care to comment on that?
Yes, Al. Of course, this is going to represent quite a change politically in the California representation in the United States Senate. Thomas Kuchel has been in the Senate, I believe, for 16 years, or at least when his current term ends and whoever the new senator is takes over. It will have been 16 years. It means, of course, that George Murphy will become California's senior senator. Whoever is elected in November, be it Rafferty or Cranston, will then be the junior senator from California. Thomas Kuchel had a great deal of seniority in the United States Senate. He was the minority whip. The man in charge for the Republicans in the Senate of kind of getting the party members into line, seeing that they were present for important votes and so forth. But apparently the Republicans of California have not seen fit to return Thomas Kuchel to the United States Senate. Max Rafferty will be their nominee for November, and he will run against Alan Cranston for the Democrats. He is the former state controller. And Hal, I think now at this time we should repeat the latest details we have on the condition of Senator Robert Kennedy. Senator Kennedy was shot last night by a would-be assassin at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. After 3.5 hours of neurosurgery at Good Samaritan Hospital, he has survived. He was taken from the operating room back to the intensive care unit of the hospital. Deputy Mayor Joseph Quinn of Los Angeles had been in the hospital during the surgery on Kennedy. Quinn reportedly is close to members of the Kennedy Party. He emerged, spoke with our newsman on the scene, Charles Arlington, gave us the report that the operation had been concluded and that Kennedy was out of the operating room. And then, perhaps the most hopeful news of all, from Deputy Mayor Joseph Quinn. He said, apparently, Senator Robert Kennedy had not suffered any permanent or severe brain damage from the bullet that was lodged in his brain. Senator Kennedy had been shot twice. He received a superficial wound in the shoulder that apparently was of little consequence, or certainly little consequence when compared to the other wound, which was a direct wound in the brain. The bullet reportedly entered his head behind the right ear and then lodged at about the midline of the skull and was lodged there in his brain. It took a team of neurosurgeons 3.5 hours to remove that bullet, and apparently that job is done. Senator Kennedy has been returned to the intensive care unit, as we told you a moment ago. Neurosurgeons, not here in Los Angeles, but in other parts of the country who have heard the news and have offered their comments, indicate that the signs are good. They say it's a good sign that Senator Kennedy remained conscious for a time after receiving the initial bullet wound to the brain. They say this bodes well for his eventual recovery and for hope that there is no permanent damage. They say it is a good sign that the neurosurgeons here in Los Angeles decided to operate quickly. One very well-known neurosurgeon back at Georgetown University in Washington pointed this out. He said the fact that the team of doctors out here decided to go into surgery immediately also was a hopeful sign. And, of course, it should be obvious that the fact that Senator Kennedy did survive the operation, that the bullet was removed from his brain, and he is now back in a hospital room under intensive care, also is a hopeful sign for his recovery. And, of course, a shocked nation, and especially, I suppose, a shocked and surprised city of Los Angeles, all are hoping and praying for the successful recovery of Senator Robert Kennedy. We've had one report from a wire service that doctors, and there was no further identification, that doctors at the hospital said it might be 2 or 3 days before they would know the extent of brain damage, if any, that had been suffered by Senator Robert Kennedy. but we've got no confirmation of that report. The doctors quoted have not yet been identified, so we're not going to offer that as a firm and direct quotation from hospital spokesman. But that is the latest report, Hal, on the condition of Senator Kennedy up to this moment.
John, we have been receiving reaction here in the United States as well as overseas. In Berlin, the residents there have expressed extreme and special fondness for the Kennedy family. Group W correspondent Bill Marsh now files this report.
Berliners first heard of the Kennedy shooting in a bulletin broadcast midway through a radio newscast at 8:30 this morning, local Berlin time. Shortly after first word of the shooting, the American Forces Network in Germany, AFN, began carrying continuous direct reports from the United States, and AFN can be heard in automobiles, in offices, and homes throughout Berlin today. The East Germans were quick to pick up the report. The usually slow communist news agency, ADN, bulletined the story within 1 hour of the shooting. The Kennedy name has had a magic ring in Berlin since President John Kennedy visited this city just 5 years ago this month. It was at City Hall Square, now called John F. Kennedy Square, that the American president told a mammoth crowd, "Ich bin ein Berliner, I am a Berliner." And it was just 4 years ago this month that Robert Kennedy came to Berlin to echo his murdered brother, saying, "I too am a Berliner." This is Bill Marsh in Berlin.
This late word that Vice President Hubert Humphrey has canceled his appearance at the Air Force Academy commencement ceremonies today, saying that it would be inappropriate. Humphrey then took a plane back to the nation's capital before his scheduled address was set to begin. No matter how far or how high Robert Kennedy has climbed, he has always seemed driven to go even farther and higher, to do it harder, to do it better. And it was that way in his recreation, the mountain climbing, football, shooting rapids, and skiing. It was that way when he was a young lawyer with a Senate committee, when he ran his brother's presidential campaign, when he was the attorney general, when he ran and was elected senator. And it was especially that way in his current presidential campaign. He said on March 16, in announcing his candidacy, "I run to seek new policies. At stake is not simply the leadership of our party or even our country. It is our right to moral leadership on this planet. I cannot stand aside from the contest." And he plunged into the campaign with typical Kennedy zest and typical Kennedy disregard for danger. A reserved, essentially shy man, Kennedy endured the mauling, pulling, and tugging from adoring crowds. And he played his appeal for the young to the hilt. But he had to get in with the young and exuberant to do it. There is little protection for any man in such large throngs. Robert Kennedy knew this more than most men in public life, having gone through the tragedy of his brother's assassination. But he plunged on all the same, and he had in common with other children of Joseph and Rose Kennedy a drive for public service and to do it, above all, superbly. Despite his personal wealth, he joined the Justice Department soon after graduating from the University of Virginia Law School in 1951, dealing principally with the prosecution of graft and income tax cases. He went with the Senate Permanent Investigation Subcommittee when it was organized in 1953, but feuded with the Chief Counsel Roy Cohn over Cohn's handling of the Army McCarthy hearings. Kennedy became Chief Counsel and head of a 65-man investigative staff when a Senate committee was formed in January of 1957 with Senator John McClellan, a Democratic representative of Arkansas, as chairman to investigate labor racketeering. That got him eventually into an epic feud with Teamster President James Hoffa, who called Kennedy a young, dim-witted, curly-headed smart-aleck and a ruthless monster. Kennedy was to hear ruthless charge again and again in later years. As Attorney General in his brother's cabinet, Robert was considered the second most powerful man in Washington, taking part in such vital decisions as decision-making as the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Bay of Pigs invasion, and the Dominican Crisis. President Kennedy answered critics of Brother Bobby's appointment with, "I can't see that it's wrong to give him a little legal experience before he goes out to practice law." Now, Robert's strong suit as Attorney General was civil rights enforcement. And when John Kennedy was shot, Robert was one of the president's widow leaned on. And soon after Robert's relationships with John's successor, Lyndon B. Johnson, began to worsen, it is a mutual dislike that is widely known and little denied.
Johnson effectively eliminated Robert Kennedy from the vice presidential race in 1964 by announcing he was removing all cabinet members from consideration. And soon after, Kennedy resigned as a Massachusetts delegate to the Democratic National Convention, leased a home in New York, and ran for senator from that state. He said, "I like to be involved in politics. I like to be involved in government." And to charges that he was a carpetbagger for switching residents, Kennedy replied, "Isn't the basic question who can best represent the state of New York?" As senator, he has been interested in social legislation, making forays into poverty areas, meeting with civil rights leaders, and has been one of the most severe critics of the Johnson's Vietnam policies. The charges of ruthlessness and opportunism came up again this year when he jumped into the race for the Democratic presidential nomination after waiting to see how Senator Eugene McCarthy of Minnesota came out in the New Hampshire primary. His views on Vietnam nearly coincide with McCarthy's. And when he lost last week's primary in Oregon to McCarthy, Kennedy, obviously stung, said for the first time that he had support the party's nominee and accepted an offer to debate McCarthy. "I am not the same candidate I was before Oregon, and I don't claim that I am," he said. However, many presidential nominees lost a primary and won both the nomination and the election. He pointed to Tuesday's California primary as the ultimate test. He won it, and at the celebration afterward flashed the victory sign and said, "On to Chicago, and let's win there." Moments later, he lay bleeding in a kitchen corridor, shot twice, and then eventually on to Good Samaritan Hospital and six neurosurgeons performing the operation of about 3.5 hours. He is now in the extensive care ward at that hospital. John?
Thank you very much, Hal. A reminder that you're listening to a live broadcast from Los Angeles through the facilities of Group W Westinghouse Broadcasting Incorporated, and we will pause 10 seconds for station identification.
This is KFWB, Group W Westinghouse Broadcasting for Los Angeles and Southern California.
This is John Swaney in Los Angeles along with Hal Goodwin, and we, of course, are bringing you all the late-breaking details on the situation concerned with the attempted assassination earlier this morning of Senator Robert Kennedy of New York. Senator Kennedy was shot, received a bullet in the brain in 3.5 hours of neurosurgery at Good Samaritan Hospital. The bullet has been removed. The senator has survived the surgery. And at least one report indicates that he may not suffer any permanent brain damage or severe brain damage from the bullet wound. Now, we have some new information. We have learned that Mrs. Martin Luther King, Jr., whose own husband, of course, was shot to death by an assassin April 4th, has sent this telegram to Mrs. Robert F. Kennedy. And we're quoting, "I am praying for your husband, whom I so much respect. And I am praying for our country in this period of great national tragedy and peril. You, your husband, and your entire family have been most comforting to my family in our times of grief and difficulty, and I am prepared to do anything which may be of some service or consolation to you now."
John, if I may interrupt just a moment, from Good Samaritan Hospital, the new secretary to Senator Robert Kennedy, Frank Mankiewicz, says that the condition of Senator Kennedy, very critical for the next 12 to 36 hours, that period of time will tell.
Yes, as a matter of fact, Hal, as you were giving us that information, I received a very similar report, this from the Associated Press. Here's the way they put it. Senator Robert F. Kennedy emerged from 3 hours of surgery today in extremely critical condition, according to his press secretary, Frank Mankiewicz. Mankiewicz said all but one fragment of a bullet in Kennedy's head was removed by a team of six neurosurgeons. So we do have a new little bit of information there on the condition of Senator Kennedy and the outcome of that surgery. Apparently, for reasons which I assume would be explained later, one fragment of a bullet was, of the bullet, was left in the head of Senator Kennedy. There is a possibility, says Mankiewicz, of brain damage, and he says that the next 12 to 36 hours will be crucial. Now, this has been coming in helter-skelter, so let me try to wrap it up for you. The first reports we had that the operation had ended came from what we would have to call an unofficial source or an unofficial spokesman, the deputy mayor of Los Angeles, Joseph Quinn. He emerged from the hospital, announced that the operation had ended after about 3 to 3.5 hours. He said at that time that it appeared there would be no brain damage to Senator Kennedy because of the bullet wound to the brain. And then we received and have received just within the last minute or two a word from an official spokesman. He is Frank Mankiewicz, who is Senator Kennedy's press aide. He confirms the fact that the operation is over. And Mr. Mankiewicz goes on to say that a fragment of bullet could not be removed from Senator Kennedy's brain. Doctors, however, he says, do not consider this too important. Senator Kennedy is described as being in extremely critical condition, and there is a possibility of brain damage. The next 12 to 36 hours will be crucial.
John, let me clear up that point. We have later information. This is Bruce McDowell. There is no evidence of any brain damage now. But apparently what can happen is there's a problem with blood supply to the middle brain, or the midbrain, what they call the midbrain region. And if the blood supply is slackened, then there could be brain damage.
Yes, Bruce, I was going to make the comment that there is no inconsistency in what Deputy Mayor Joseph Quinn said and in these later reports, because the deputy mayor emerged and said apparently there is no brain damage. Now, what Mr. Mankiewicz, the senator's press secretary, has said is that there is a possibility of brain damage which could occur. So the two statements are not necessarily inconsistent. As you have reported, it would appear that at this stage of his recovery, Senator Kennedy does not appear to have suffered any brain damage, if we're interpreting the doctors correctly, but he could suffer further brain damage or future brain damage because of some impairment of the supply of blood to the midbrain. Now, we are not pretending in any way to offer you medical opinions or even to be giving you these reports in any type of expert medical terms. If we were, we would imagine that the majority of the listeners would not actually be aware of what was going on anyway. So it looks like this. Senator Kennedy is out of surgery. No additional surgery is planned at the present time. Although a fragment of the bullet had to be left within the senator's brain, doctors don't consider that too important. And we have heard before of many cases, both from war and injuries of other types, where the small fragments of metal may have to be left in the brain, and of course, persons often go on to live perfectly normal lives under that condition. However, Senator Robert Kennedy is said to be in extremely critical condition, with the possibility that brain damage could develop, mainly because of an impairment of a blood supply to the midbrain, and according to his press secretary, Frank Mankiewicz, the next 12 to 36 hours will be crucial. So I would hesitate to say that this is encouraging news that is from the standpoint of a full recovery for Senator Robert Kennedy. It certainly is encouraging that he has survived the operation, that of course it's encouraging if you go back even farther than that he survived initially a gunshot wound to the brain, in which the bullet lodged actually in the midline of the skull and apparently was embedded very deeply in his brain. Survived that wound, then survived the time necessary to get him into surgery, came through the surgery, and apparently successfully came through the surgery, which is not to imply that he is out of danger. That is not true by any means. His condition is now described as extremely critical. However, every step that the senator manages to make, getting to surgery, surviving the surgery, and now being in the intensive care unit, and apparently still with good heart response and blood pressure, these are all encouraging signs, of course, which I'm sure all of us hope to point to an eventual recovery for the senator.
John, we have received word that Police Chief Tom Redden will hold a second news briefing at Parker Center in a few minutes from now. At an earlier news briefing at Parker Center downtown, Tom Redden identified the suspect as a white male, 25 to 26 years of age, or 28 years of age, standing 5'6", weighing 125 to 140 pounds, with a swarthy complexion. He said that the man used a 22 caliber pistol and emptied the pistol at the time shortly after midnight this morning, firing 8 shots. According to Police Chief Redden, the man had so far refused to identify himself, and the only thing he had said so far up to that time was yes, in answer to a question. As to what that question was, we do not know. His fingerprints have been sent to the FBI in the nation's capital. Police officials say that he had no identification in his possession, just some scraps of paper, but there is nothing beyond that. And so perhaps at the second news briefing that is expected within minutes from the police chief, Tom Redden, we will learn additional details. We can only speculate, of course, on that.
Hal, we do have a newsman en route to the press conference. The notice provided here is rather short. But we are hoping that by the beginning of the conference, or at least by the time it has gotten into progress, we're going to have a man on the scene to bring us a direct report. As you say, it's possible that some new information now is available about the suspect who is in custody. He's being held on suspicion of assault with intent to commit murder in the shooting of Senator Robert F. Kennedy of New York.
John, perhaps at this time, 21 minutes before 8 here on the Pacific Coast, there are some who are not aware of the tragedy that took place at the Ambassador Hotel here in Los Angeles shortly after midnight at an approximate time of 12:20. Shortly after midnight, Senator Robert Kennedy entered the embassy ballroom of the Ambassador Hotel. He addressed a large crowd of his campaign supporters relative to the apparent victory that he had just won here in the California presidential primary. After a brief speech, Kennedy left the podium, made his way through the crowd toward another room where more supporters were waiting, and while Senator Kennedy was walking through a hallway, a series of shots rang out. The senator and others, three other men and a woman, was struck by the bullets that were fired from a 22 caliber revolver. All 8 shots were fired. Kennedy, reportedly still conscious, was carried into a nearby room to await the arrival of an ambulance. Meanwhile, several members of the senator's entourage grabbed and held the man who apparently fired the shots. The suspect, reportedly, was captured by sports stars Roosevelt Greer of the Los Angeles Rams and Rafer Johnson, decathlon champion, both of them Kennedy supporters. Senator Kennedy was first taken by ambulance to Central Receiving Hospital. He remained there only a short time and then was transferred to Good Samaritan Hospital. And the first reliable word of the extent and nature of Kennedy's wounds came from Frank Mankiewicz, his new secretary, with Mankiewicz emerging from Good Samaritan Hospital telling newsmen that a team of 6 neurosurgeons would operate on Kennedy. John?
Hal, I'm going to interrupt you. We have our newsman, Charles Arlington, standing by. He is at Good Samaritan Hospital and has a live report. Charles, what is the story there now?
The story as we now have it is this. All that can be done has been done for Senator Robert F. Kennedy. The operation, which lasted better than 3 hours, has been completed. Just moments ago, Frank Mankiewicz, the executive press secretary for Senator Kennedy, came out, got on top of a police car, and told the men of the media the latest as regards Senator Kennedy. Here is that report.
The surgical team has now completed their work. Approximately 3 hours of surgery. Team, including Dr. Maxwell Andler, A-N-D-L-E-R, UCLA School of Medicine. Nat, N-A-T, Downs, Reed, R-E-I-D, and Dr. Henry Cuneo, C-U-N-E-O, of University of Southern California School of Medicine. They've completed their surgery. Senator Kennedy has been returned to the intensive care room. His condition is described as extremely critical. The vital signs remain about as they were, except that He is now breathing on his own, which he was not prior to the surgery, although he now has the assistance of a resuscitator. All but one fragment of the bullet has been removed from the head injury. There is still one bullet apparently somewhere in the back of his neck, although this is not regarded as a major problem. Senator Kennedy lost a considerable amount of blood as a result of the bullet which entered and passed through the mastoid bone on the right side of his head. And some of the fragments of the bullet and of the bone went toward the brain stem. In addition to the damage done by the bullet, there may have been an impairment of the blood supply to the midbrain, which the doctors explain as controlling, or at least governing, certain of the vital signs, pulse, heart, eye track, level of consciousness, although not directly the thinking processes. And the doctors say that the next 12 to 36 hours will be a very critical period.
That's the way the statement from Frank Mankiewicz went, and then there was a brief question and answer period. Some of the questions are not clearly audible because of the distance away from those putting the questions to the executive secretary or press secretary for Senator Kennedy. Here's the way the questions and answers went.
And they list his condition as extremely critical.
Frank, will more surgery be required?
Apparently they don't contemplate surgery for that one remaining fragment, and no additional surgery is planned at this time.
Do the doctors regard the operation?
I beg your pardon? There's a doctor, Poppin, who is from Boston. I'll come back and give you the exact his name and he was sent here. He arrived this morning on an airplane furnished by the vice president, who called last night. In addition, we've had calls from President Johnson, from Mr. Finney, for Senator McCarthy, and late last night also from Senator Mike Mansfield.
Do the doctors regard the operation?
I've told you all they've told me, Bob. They say his condition is still extremely critical. He's living. He's not conscious, but he is breathing on his own. And the signs, his temperature, his blood pressure, his heart pulse remain satisfactory.
Well,
I can't answer that question. Can't answer that question.
That was the question, how was the family taking the incident, the accident, the assailant's attack upon Senator Kennedy? And, of course, as you heard, Frank Mankiewicz said he couldn't answer that. So that's the latest word we have here at Good Samaritan Hospital. The executive press secretary for Senator Kennedy made a longer than previous announcement as regards the condition of the senator. As you heard, he is now out of surgery in the intensive care area again and remaining in an extremely critical condition. And as Mr. Mankiewicz said, it could be 13 to 36 hours before we would know whether or not the senator will come out of this in good shape. So far, the news people are still here. Many of the area residents who had come around the hospital and staged an all-night vigil with candlelight and bonfires and praying and singing have since disappeared, primarily because of the work call of the day. this being a regular weekday, and only the men of the news media remain on the scene. This is Charles Arlington at the Good Samaritan Hospital in Los Angeles.
Thank you very much for that live report, Charles Arlington. And now, Hal, I believe you have something more.
Yes, John. As we mentioned a few minutes ago, Police Chief Tom Retton will hold a second news briefing at Parker Center within a few minutes from now. On the scene is KFWB newsman Patrick Emery. Pat?
Hal, it'll be just about 15 minutes from now when the police chief will be here holding that press conference, hopefully 15 minutes. Might point out the district attorney, Evel Younger, has been here at the jail all night long. There's still no attorney for the suspect, still no identification. He still hasn't talked. They're waiting for fingerprints still from Washington. Originally, the reports circulating that the man was identified by someone as a 25-year-old Jess Green. That's since been discarded. Security, still the double frisk at the doors. Things are going on relatively normal for everyone else working here. The people are coming to work at the Central Police Station here in Los Angeles. And they've checked through the 45,000 local fingerprints. Nothing on those. The police chief has just walked in. The press conference should be getting underway momentarily, and I'll have to get myself organized and set up for that, Hal, so I'll get back to you shortly. This is Patrick Emery at the Central Los Angeles Police Station.
Real fine, Pat. Thank you very much. Of course, earlier at the initial news conference held by the police chief, the suspected assassin was identified as a white man, 25 to 28 years of age, standing 5'6", weighing 125 to 140 pounds, with a swarthy complexion. Authorities saying that the man used a .22 caliber pistol and fired 8 shots. The man, so far, according to Police Chief Retton, at the time of his initial news conference, is saying that he so far had refused to identify himself. His fingerprints, as newsman Emery reported, have been sent to the FBI in the nation's capital. Police officials saying that the man had no identification in his possession, but did have some scraps of paper on his person. Perhaps now at the second news briefing, which we expect to receive a report on momentarily, we will learn some additional details. Just handed to me a report from Paris that the United States and North Vietnam have failed again to break their deadlock over how to de-escalate the war in Vietnam, but North Vietnam seemed to edge closer to admitting it has troops fighting in the South. The American ambassador, Averill Harriman, accusing North Vietnam of having 40,000 troops in Laos, which he called an all-time high, and asked that North Vietnam live up to the agreement to neutralize Laos. Harriman offering to talk at once about ending attacks on the North, that made his speech on the situation in neighboring Laos. The North Vietnamese ambassador, Duan Thuy, issued a long blast against U.S. Aggression and then made the statement, and I quote, as far as South Vietnam, so long as U.S. troops continue their war of aggression, the people, the armed forces, the National Front for Liberation, and other patriotic forces in South Vietnam will naturally continue their resistance. Those are the words of the North Vietnamese ambassador, Duan Thuy. Once again, the U.S. and North Vietnam failing again to break their deadlock over how to de-escalate the war in Vietnam. John?
Well, Hal, I think it might be well to recap a little bit on the statements made out at Good Samaritan Hospital by Mr. Mankiewicz, the press aide to Senator Robert Kennedy. We have now what we must consider the official report of the senator's condition and what happened during surgery. Mr. Mankiewicz came out, and he said that the surgery had been completed. He reported that a fragment of the bullet had been left by the surgeons in the senator's brain for reasons, I am sure, which the neurosurgeons could explain, but we don't have immediately available. However, according to Mr. Mankiewicz, apparently there is not a great deal of concern over being forced to leave a small fragment of the bullet in the brain. Now, Mr. Mankiewicz went on to report that another bullet remains somewhere in the back of the neck. We had earlier reports, in fact, from the same spokesman, that Senator Kennedy had suffered a superficial shoulder wound Apparently, we now have the impression that this is very high on the shoulder to the point of actually being in the neck. But Mr. Mankiewicz again reiterated that this other wound is giving the doctors very little concern. Apparently, this is not in any way a serious or critical wound, and so for the present time, they certainly are concentrating upon the bullet wound to the brain of Senator Kennedy. Now, Mr. Mankiewicz went on to say that Kennedy had lost a considerable amount of blood as a result of the bullet, which passed through the mastoid bone on the right side of his head. Mankiewicz says Kennedy is now breathing without the use of special oxygen equipment following the operation, but he is in a resuscitator. Kennedy is now in an intensive care unit at Good Samaritan Hospital, and a medical bulletin says that the next 12 to 36-hour period will be very critical. Said Mankiewicz, the press secretary, Kennedy is living and he is now breathing on his own. Mankiewicz also revealed that in addition to the damage done by the bullet, there may have been an impairment to the blood supply to the midbrain, which doctors say controls or at least governs certain vital signs, including the eye track, the level of consciousness, and indirectly the talking process. The doctor said the next 12 to 36 hours will be very critical, and he summed up by saying his condition is listed as extremely critical. Now, back to the would-be assassin, the man being held at police headquarters in Los Angeles who allegedly shot Senator Kennedy. Police Chief Redden says that gunman has been offered an attorney, but he makes no response. The police station is guarded by officers with pistols, rifles, and anyone entering the building has been searched twice. Patrick Emery, down there at police headquarters, and we'll be hearing from him in a minute, reported to us his own experience of having been frisked, as they use the term, having been frisked twice before finally getting into that press conference. Photographers asked if they could get a picture of the gunman and a police aide, obviously recalling the shooting of Lee Harvey Oswald by Jack Ruby in the Dallas police station. And the police aide said no one is going to get within 1,000 feet of him. Him, that's the apparent would-be assassin, the man who at least is being held is being held on suspicion of assault with intent to commit murder. They don't know his name, or at least up until now, we have heard that they don't know his name. At a press conference considerably earlier, some hours ago, and I must confess that we have been here so long that the exact time escapes me now. I can't give it to you. But some hours ago, Police Chief Redden held a news conference. Al, I think it was about 3, wasn't
it? I was
it?
Going to say about 3 o'clock, yes, John.
And Police Chief Redden said that they had really no idea who this man was that they had in custody. Apparently, many, many witnesses to the shooting say he is undoubtedly the man who fired the shots. But he would not talk to police, literally, would not say a word. They apparently have been able to determine that he understands English and can speak English. He said the one word, yes, and nothing more. Chief Redden says the man has been offered an attorney, but simply makes no response. So, needless to say, he has not identified himself to police. He carried no papers. He carried no identification of any kind. And thus, logically, his fingerprints were taken. They were sent to Washington, where federal authorities, I imagine, hope that they can, in some way, learn the identity of this man. Now, we understand that about 4 minutes from now, we're going to have a press conference down at police headquarters. We will make an effort to bring you live coverage of the press conference. We do have a reporter standing by there. Police Chief Redden will once again come back and address members of the press. And, of course, this leads to speculation that there is some new information on the man who they believe is the assailant of Senator Kennedy. Perhaps his identity has been learned, but we won't speculate. We'll just wait a few minutes and see what happens. Hal?
John, while we're waiting for the Redden News Conference, the second briefing this morning, let's go to Washington, and for more reaction, here is Group W correspondent Hal Cessna.
Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield, just returning from a White House meeting with the president, says Mr. Johnson is deeply grieved over the attempted assassination. Mansfield says, I grieve for my country and for the Kennedys.
What is wrong with our country that our people can assassinate a President Kennedy, a Medgar Evers, a Martin Luther King, and possibly a Senator Robert Kennedy? And I'm wondering, will we ever assume the stability and the responsibility and the understanding that is so necessary if, as a nation and a people, we are to survive. The very best is expected of all of us to see us through the travail of our domestic and foreign difficulties, and yet we fail to measure up. The terror and horror of this affair numbs me, and all I can do is pray for the recovery of Bob Kennedy.
Mansfield says the act seems to indicate the country is in a deep malaise, which the people must face and conquer. He says the president has, on his own initiative, acted to provide the utmost in protection for all the candidates and their families. And he says the leadership, Senator Dirksen and himself, thoroughly approve the actions taken. Meantime, a special police cordon has been put in place at the Kennedy's Virginia home, Hickory Hill. This is Hal Cessna, Washington.
The New York stock market declined at the opening today amid shock and uncertainty of news of the shooting of Senator Robert Kennedy at the Ambassador Hotel here in Los Angeles shortly after a victory celebration. Losses outnumbered gains by a ratio of almost 2-1. Opening prices included McDonnell Douglas down 1.25 at 55.5. Sinclair Oil unchanged at 84.5. Dell E. Webb unchanged at 10. Seaboard Finance up 1/8 at 27. And International Telephone down 1/8 at 57. The Dow Jones average is now up 90 cents. Hal Goodwin here in Los Angeles with John Swaney. With the tragic news of this morning, Senator Robert Kennedy shot at the Ambassador Hotel. This is Group W, broadcasting from Los Angeles live, Hal Goodwin with John Swaney.
Now I believe we should pause 10 seconds, Hal, for station identification. This is KFWB Group W, Westinghouse broadcasting for Los Angeles and Southern California. Now back to our live broadcast from Los Angeles. John Swaney along with Hal Goodwin. We're standing by at the moment for, we hope, live coverage of a press conference called by the Los Angeles Police of Chief of Police, I should say, Thomas Redden. Now, at an earlier news conference held about 3 a.m. Pacific time, which would have been 6 o'clock on the East Coast, Chief Redden said that there was a suspect in custody, that they believed they had the man who shot Senator Robert Kennedy earlier today, gravely wounding him. Chief Redden said they had no idea, as to the identity of their suspect. The man was described as being rather small in stature, about 5'6", weighing 120 pounds, perhaps a little more. They used the word swarthy to describe his complexion and said he had wiry or bushy hair. But this seemed to be about all the information that they had, because the suspect reportedly would not speak to officers, literally not a single word. Apparently, the one word yes was about the only sound he had uttered since being taken into custody. The officer said they had determined that the man could speak and understand English, but as far as earlier reports that he seemed to be of Latin American descent, Chief Redden said that he could not confirm that the man was of Latin descent. The man is currently being held on suspicion of assault with intent to commit murder. Now, turning our attention again, until we have word that we're ready to go to police headquarters, let's turn our attention again for a moment to the condition of Senator Kennedy. We are now getting more definite and official information on Kennedy's condition. He is out of surgery. He was on the operating table for about 3.5 hours. His condition now is extremely critical, and he is being treated in the intensive care unit at Good Samaritan Hospital in Los Angeles. His heartbeat and pulse are reported to be satisfactory following the operation. A spokesman for Kennedy, Frank Mankiewicz, his press secretary, says that a fragment of the bullet which was lodged in Senator Kennedy's brain still remains there, that the doctors apparently removed the largest portion of the bullet, but did not, for some medical reason, remove a certain small fragment. However, Mankiewicz went on to say that apparently this fragment is not causing any concern, and should not impair whatever recovery may be in store for the senator. He also said that Senator Kennedy still has a bullet lodged somewhere in the back of his neck, apparently primarily in the shoulder region. However, Mankiewicz said that this is a superficial wound and is not of any concern to the doctor as far as endangering Senator Kennedy's life. So the senator is in extremely critical condition. The bullet has been removed from his brain except for a small fragment, which apparently is not concerning them. Now, the doctors say that at this point, it does not appear that the senator has suffered any brain damage from the wound. This does not mean, however, that he is out of danger of such damage, because they say that there may be some impairment to the blood supply to the mid-brain area. This area of the brain, and we're not speaking as medical authorities, we're only repeating what the doctors have been saying and what Frank Mankiewicz, Kennedy's press secretary, has reported. This area of the brain does not control the thinking process. What it does control are some of the more overt bodily functions, such as the tracking of the eyes, the level of consciousness, and so forth, but not the thinking process itself. And this is the area of the brain in which apparently they fear there could be some damage because of an impairment of blood supply. But nothing will be known for at least 12 hours, possibly up to 36 hours. Al?
John, apparently the news conference with Tom Redden is underway, and we expect to report live from KFWB newsman Patrick Emery, who is in attendance at the news conference at this moment. In Washington, Attorney General Ramsey Clark said earlier there was no evidence of a conspiracy at this moment in the shooting of Senator Kennedy. Clark earlier had ordered an FBI investigation. His voice breaking with emotion, Clark recalled how he had worked with Kennedy when he was Attorney General. He said that it seems incredible that another such personal tragedy would strike the Kennedy family, which has suffered so much, that such a profound tragedy through violence would strike this country of ours. The widow of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., killed by a gunman in Memphis last April, sent her expression of grief to Mrs. Kennedy and said that she was praying for the senator's recovery and for the future of the United States. The gunman earlier was described by Police Chief Tom Redden as white male, 25 to 28 years of age, 5'6", 125 to 140 pounds, with swarthy complexion. The shooting was another incredible link in a chain of tragedy that has run through the Kennedy family. The first son, Joe, was killed when his plane exploded during a bombing raid on German submarine pens on the French coast in World War II. In 1948, Kathleen, widow of the Marquess of Hartington, was killed in a plane crash in the mountains of southern France. And another sister, Rosemary, has been mentally retarded since birth. In early 1963... Patrick Kennedy, newborn son of President and Mrs. John F. Kennedy, died of a lung ailment. And on November 22 of 1963, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Fear for Robert Kennedy's safety have grown as the campaign intensified. He insisted on standing erect, though, in an open convertible with those around him. And he drove through swarming mobs bent on grabbing his hand or touching his clothing. A former Vice President Richard Nixon, the leading Republican presidential candidate, has canceled a news briefing scheduled for 11 this morning in New York, at which he was to announce plans for a brand new campaign to seek support of Democrats as well as independents. An aide said that Nixon had sent a personal telegram to Ethel Kennedy, but did not disclose its contents. Minnesota Senator Eugene McCarthy, here in Los Angeles, canceled any plans that he had for today. And from the White House, a directive from President Johnson ordering that Secret Service men give full protection to all of the presidential candidates. John?
Yes, Al. Once again, we're waiting for a word on the press conference called by Los Angeles Police Chief Thomas Redden at the City Hall. It may indicate that there is some new information available about the man who allegedly shot Senator Robert Kennedy. It may not indicate that, so there's nothing to do but wait and see. But we do have reporters on the scene. We're prepared for some live reports, and so we hope you will stand by for that. If we could turn away a minute here from the basic story, although certainly everything else in the news pales by side of the events that have happened in the last 8 hours in Los Angeles, I think once again we had better mention that there has been a political upset in California in the Republican senatorial primary. Dr. Max Rafferty, the state superintendent of instruction, has defeated Thomas Kuchel, the incumbent senator. We say this is an upset, not so much in terms of the fact that it was not expected, because there were polls which indicated that could happen, but I think it would not be unfair to say that any United States senator who has been in office for 16 years and is the number two man in his party in the United States Senate, he is the Senate Minority Whip, when he is unseated, then I think that could legitimately be turned a political upset, even though it may have been expected. But in any event, Rafferty is the winner. It was a close race, but there doesn't seem to be much question now that Dr. Max Rafferty will come out on top. He has been outspoken in his campaign against Kuchel. I think that most political observers would consider Rafferty a conservative, while Kuchel is generally considered a liberal to moderate senator. So, once again, the people of California have indicated a preference for a more conservative political philosophy. They have decided not to send Thomas Kuchel back to the United States Senate. And Max Rafferty will be the party's candidate for the general election in November. Now, who will he face? And there's another interesting political point, because the winner on the Democratic ballot was a man who I think most political observers would call a liberal to moderate. That's Alan Cranston. He formerly was the state controller under Governor Edmund Brown. And Cranston now will face Rafferty for the November election, and that should be an interesting campaign. While I wouldn't want to be quoted on it, I might almost say that those two men are poles apart politically. So let's say that at least in the senatorial race in California, there should be plenty of issues on which the two candidates will disagree without any question.
Yes, John, the 51-year-old Rafferty had stressed in his campaign that Kuchel refused to endorse the 1964 Republican presidential candidate Barry Goldwater, Senator George Murphy, and or Governor Ronald Reagan in their general election contests. Kuchel, a 16-year Senate veteran, had responded that his election as the number two man in the GOP leadership was proof of his Republican credentials. Kuchel, the last survivor of the Earl Warren Republican dynasty here in California, Warren, then governor, now Chief Justice of the United States, appointed Kuchel to the Senate seat, which Richard Nixon vacated when he was elected vice president. There were others wounded when Senator Kennedy was shot this morning at the Ambassador Hotel. They have been identified as Paul Strade, a union official, Bill Weissel of ABC Television News, 17-year-old Irwin Stroll, apparently a Kennedy campaign worker, and it is reported that Weissel is in serious condition, the other two men wounded less seriously. There was a woman who was injured in the shooting. She's identified by Los Angeles police as 43-year-old Elizabeth Evans. And she suffered what is described as a superficial hairline wound to the right side of her head. This is a minor wound. The woman was taken to a hospital in Saugus. Now with us here in the studios is my good colleague, Lloyd Chester. Lloyd?
All right. Thank you, Hal. For those who have not heard, and we can't imagine that anyone has not heard, that Senator Robert Kennedy was shot last night, early this morning, in Los Angeles, I'm going to do a complete recap on what has taken place, Hal. Take yourself a well-deserved break and get yourself a cup of coffee and come on back in about 10 minutes or so. Senator Kennedy was shot in the head by a mysteriously silent gunman after winning the California Democratic presidential primary, and emerged from more than 3 hours of surgery in extremely critical condition. An aide said all but a fragment of a bullet was removed from Kennedy's brain, and a second bullet, less serious, remains in the back of his neck. Vital signs, pulse, and breathing are in good order. Frank Mankiewicz, his press secretary, told newsmen the next 4 to 36 hours will be critical. Mankiewicz said there may have been some impairment of the blood supply to the center of the brain, which controls pulse, blood pressure, and tracking of the eye, but not the thinking processes. The 42-year-old New York senator came from behind in California's crucial primary to accrue a winning lead over Senator Eugene McCarthy around midnight. Kennedy had proclaimed his win to about 2,000 supporters at the Ambassador Hotel and was taking a shortcut through the kitchen to a meeting with newsmen when shots rang out. With stunning rapidity at 12:15 a.m., a man police described as about 25, 5 feet 5, and 120 pounds with dark hair and complexion emptied the chamber of an 8-shot, 22-caliber pistol. Senator Kennedy fell, hit apparently 3 times. 5 others near him were wounded, none as badly as the presidential candidate. I'm going to take time out from the recap of the events that took place in Los Angeles last night and early this morning, and we're going to go to Patrick Emery at police headquarters. KFWB newsman Pat Emery has the latest word on the suspect police have in custody.
I point out that District Attorney Evel Younger has been here at the jail all night long. There's still no attorney for the suspect, still no identification. He still hasn't talked. They're waiting for fingerprints still from Washington. Originally, the reports circulating that the man was identified by someone as a 25-year-old Jess Green. That's since been discarded. Security, still the double frisk at the doors. Things are going on relatively normal for everyone else working here. The people are coming to work at the Central Police Station here in Los Angeles. And they've checked through the 45,000 local fingerprints, nothing on those. The police chief has just walked in. The press conference should be getting underway momentarily, and I'll have to get myself organized and set up for that, Hal, so I'll get back to you shortly. This is Patrick Emery at the Central Los Angeles Police Station.
All right, Pat, thank you very much for that report. After Senator Kennedy was wounded last night, hit apparently 3 times. He lay for a time flat on his back in the kitchen of the Ambassador Hotel. His eyes were open. There was a crowd milling around him. Some observers say they heard him say, as he was lifted into a police ambulance, "Oh, no, no, don't." Pandemonium, of course, broke loose. Roosevelt Grier, the giant Negro tackle for the L.A. Rams, quickly grabbed the gunman, wrestled the gun from him, and held him for police. Officers later questioned the man, and as you just heard, Pat Emery, the man is still being questioned at Central Jail, and police say he stonily refuses to say anything except yes to one question. They said they had no clue to his identity. We have no idea what the question was that he said yes to that the police asked him about. They have no clue to his identity as yet. They are running a check by fingerprints with the FBI in Washington, hoping to find some identity to this man. President Johnson and others around the nation, including Kennedy's rival on the campaign primary trail, Minnesota Senator McCarthy, expressed shock and sorrow. President Johnson has ordered the full resources of the FBI thrown into the case, and he has ordered Secret Service protection for all major candidates. So far, only one, to our knowledge, has accepted, and that is Governor Rockefeller of New York. And apparently, 2 Secret Service men have now been assigned to Governor Rockefeller, and they will look out for him and make sure that something of this tragic nature does not occur with the governor from New York. Senator Kennedy was brought first to Central Receiving Hospital, where a doctor said he was practically dead upon arrival. Physicians there administered closed cardiac massage, oxygen, and adrenaline. A doctor who treated him said at first he was pulseless, then his pulse came back, and we began to hear a heartbeat, and he began to breathe a little erratically. The doctor, Victor Boz, said Mrs. Kennedy, who accompanied her husband in the ambulance, was frightened. She didn't believe he was alive because she couldn't see that he was responding. Dr. Boz put the stethoscope to Mrs. Kennedy's ears so she could listen, and she, of course, was tremendously relieved. She was very distraught, but superb, very edgy. But as Dr. Boz related, my own wife wouldn't have done as well. I don't think she was gracious at all times. The senator was taken to Good Samaritan Hospital near downtown Los Angeles. There, a team of six surgeons began brain surgery at 3:12 a.m. That operation lasted about 3 hours and 40 minutes. Doctors said one bullet struck near the right ear and entered the brain. Another hit in the shoulder. A third apparently grazed his forehead. Kennedy's press aide said after the surgery that no further effort is planned for removal of the remaining bullet fragment in the skull. He said some fragments of the bullet and bone went to the brain stem, and also said the senator lost considerable blood. The surgery was pronounced successful in that it accomplished what it set out to do, and that was to remove most of the bullet. Kennedy's personal physician is flying to Los Angeles from Boston. The surgery this morning was performed by Drs. Maxwell Ambler of UC Los Angeles Medical School and Nat Downs Reed and Henry Cuneo of USC Medical School. Police, of course, right now are trying to reconstruct the shooting. Many police officers say they believe there was only one man involved, and that's the man being questioned. They have booked him as a John Doe. As yet, they don't know the man's name. He's been booked as a John Doe on suspicion of assault with intent to commit murder. The following is an approximated chronology of the events involved in the shooting of Senator Robert Kennedy. At 12:15 a.m., Kennedy was shot by an unidentified gunman. At 12:18 a.m., the assailant was disarmed by members of Kennedy's entourage. Those people included Rosie Greer of the L.A. Rams and Rafer Johnson. At 12:30, an ambulance from Central Receiving Hospital arrived at the Ambassador Hotel. At 12:40, the senator arrived at Central Receiving Hospital. At 12:55, he was transferred to Good Samaritan Hospital. At 2:45 a.m., a team of six neurosurgeons began operating to remove a .22-caliber slug lodged in Senator Kennedy's brain. And at 6:25 a.m., the operation ended, and Senator Kennedy was wheeled out of the operating room. At 7:25 a.m., approximately 1 hour ago, a medical bulletin from the hospital, Good Samaritan, says the next 12 to 36 hours will be extremely critical for the senator. And as we say, as of this report, Senator Robert Kennedy remains in extremely critical condition from the would-be assassin's bullets after about 3 hours of brain surgery. President Johnson today led a horrified nation in praying for the recovery of Senator Kennedy, who was critically wounded in the assassination attempt in our city last night. Lawmakers on the Hill voiced fear that the world has gone mad. The president, who succeeded to the office of presidency when John F. Kennedy was slain before his eyes in Dallas 4 years ago, said there are no words equal to the horror of this newest tragedy. All America prays for his recovery. We also pray that violence be driven from the hearts of men everywhere. The president, who spent much of the night watching television accounts of the tragic shooting and its aftermath, also ordered, as we related earlier, the Secret Service to immediately assign a detail to guard the other presidential candidates. President Johnson consulted during the night with Attorney General Ramsey Clark and FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover. The Attorney General ordered the FBI into the case under authority of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and the Civil Rights Act of 1968. Clark also ordered James P. McShane, Chief U.S. Marshal, to take command of a guard detail posted at Senator Kennedy's home, Hickory Hill, in suburban Fairfax County, Virginia.
Lloyd, may I interrupt just a moment?
Yeah, Al.
The young mystery man who allegedly shot Senator Kennedy has been arraigned, was arraigned in secret at 7 o'clock this morning before Municipal Judge Joan Dempsey Klein. Los Angeles police, apparently hoping to forestall further violence, sneak the suspect into the Hall of Justice some 90 minutes before court normally opens. The arraignment took only minutes, and the man, who has refused to give his name, was then returned to jail. Four counts of assault with intent to commit murder have been lodged against the suspect. Okay, Lloyd.
All right, Hal, thank you. Word from Jim Anderson in Sacramento. Governor Ronald Reagan has pledged he will make whatever assistance available that is needed in investigating the shooting of Senator Robert Kennedy. A Reagan spokesman said the governor had not yet ordered any state agency into the case, but will leave it up to the Los Angeles police authorities to ask for help. The Russians picked on the shooting last night as an opportunity for some propaganda. An official Soviet commentator used the opportunity to make a propaganda attack on the states and to ask whether the shooting was linked with the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Igor Orlov, a commentator for the official Soviet news agency TASS, asked, "Is it possible to exclude completely an assumption that the attempt on his brother Robert Kennedy was in some way connected with the assassination of the president himself?" He added that this question was still to be answered. He offered no evidence to support the implication that the two shootings might be linked. Orlov repeated previous Soviet charges that the Vietnam War has stimulated a criminal mentality inside America. A reaction from Mayor Richard Daley of Chicago, and he could have been speaking for people the world over, when he heard the news of the Kennedy shooting, Daley muttered, "It is shocking, unbelievable." U.S. Senator Albert Gore, Democrat for Tennessee, says, "Make no mistake about it, our society is threatened. The depth of the tragedy and the horror makes things beyond that difficult." Gore said he did not know what conditions, causes, maladies have infested our society with such a spirit of violence. House Speaker John McCormick seemed almost in shock when he was given the news. He said, "My God, what is this country?" And then his voice trailed off. Other reactions coming in from Group W correspondents Bernard Redmount in France. France, in the midst of its own trials and tribulations for the past 3 weeks, with 10 million workers on strike, Frenchmen reacted swiftly, couldn't believe the news. As a matter of fact, I've just been informed that we do have a report from France, and that report will be voiced by Group W correspondent Richard Grenier.
"The people on the Champs-Élysées in Paris, both Frenchmen and tourists, reacted with consternation and horror to news of the attack on Robert Kennedy.
I think there's something behind it, maybe a plot or something. It's not a one-man's job.
But how everyone died, only prayer can do for that.
Well,
it's
terrible, of course.
Do you know what
I mean? It's unbelievable. But
you know, many people are terrible now. They're just stupid and they don't know what to do and pray. But I mean, we know we just share the sadness of the scene. For the American people, you know, from time to time, we are not just according with them, but we like them. But at the moment, you know, I can't say anything because I have so much trouble by that.
Well, I think it's just another individual gone crazy.
Even De Gaulle and the raging French national crisis were forgotten as Frenchmen glued their ears to radios for further news of the shooting. This is Richard Grenier in Paris.
That report from Group W correspondent Richard Grenier in Paris and French reaction to the shooting of Senator Kennedy. We have another report here from newsman Pat Emery. Pat?
Lloyd, the police chief is just concluding his press conference right now. He says that John Doe was arraigned this morning in Judge Joan Dempsey Klein's court. He says during the night they were very close to an identification of the man. He still hasn't told them his name yet, so he has been arraigned as a John Doe. They've run down numerous leads thus far. They found that the gun belonged to a man in East Los Angeles at one time. Then it was traced to Marin County, and then 3 years ago it was lost. They haven't been able to make up the difference of the 3 years. Also, an automobile was found or was taken from the scene. A key was found in the pocket of the suspect. However, the automobile and the key both were the property of a hotel employee where the shooting occurred. Evel Younger has been at the jail all night, and they have built a case against the suspect. He has been charged with 6 counts of intent to commit murder, and the Judge Dempsey Klein has set bail at $250,000. Public defender did talk with the suspect, but again, no identification to this man as yet. He will not identify himself. That's about it right now, Lloyd. I'll try to keep you posted as best I can.
All right, Pat, thank you very much for that report on what's happening at police headquarters. We, of course, will be getting more reports as the story develops from Pat Emery at police headquarters. Earlier this morning, attorney A.L. Wirin, chief counsel in Los Angeles for the American Civil Liberties Union, asked police chief Tom Redden for permission to interview the suspect. Wirin emphasized his desire to prevent Los Angeles from becoming another Dallas. in apparent reference to the death of Lee Harvey Oswald before he could be questioned or tried for the assassination of President John F. Kennedy.